This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
I had the time of my life when Quebec City lost the Nordiques.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Continues TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, expected to join us in studio. We believe Bob will pop by the studio. He may or may not.
Well, I think him and the O-Dog will circle back after their Sports Center work.
I don't think Bob's doing a Sports Center hit right now. I know O-Dog is, so he'll be back.
Ah.
Bob, on the other hand, he's a busy man. He's got a lot of things going on. Maybe the Bobcast is being recorded.
I was going to say, we've got to talk about this Bobcast. Mm-hmm. Is he back up and running again?
As far as I know, the Bobcast is rocking and rolling.
Good, good.
I think Duthie was kicking around today doing his podcast, so all the big boys are here podcasting.
We're podcasting as well, technically.
I guess whenever we're on the air, it's considered...
There is
a podcast. At some point, it's going to be up online. You can find it on iTunes or at tsn1050.ca.
Once or twice a day, we get podcast guy writing us in. Saying,
all the time.
I'm late on this, but I agree with you or I disagree with you.
Those are always the best when some guy really disagrees with you, like 4 days later.
But I don't know what he's disagreeing with.
And especially if he doesn't add the context.
Right.
Like, if you don't say, hey, dude, your take on Line A was brutal, and here's why, I'm not going to know what you mean when you just write, dude, I just heard what you had to say, you're an idiot. I've said a lot of stupid things.
We've all done it.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
It's funny, because we'll have somebody write in and say, I disagree with you on what you said about Calgary. Okay, does that mean on our poll? Does that mean on our, like, what about...
Are we talking about the building?
Like, what are we... Yeah, the building. I have no idea.
Right.
So that's why you either mute or block in
you
that
situation. You
got to
clarify. If you're a podcast listener,
yes,
and you're chirping us three or four days later, clarify why you're chirping or what we had to say. There he is, Bob McKenzie. What's happening, Bob?
Not much. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
No, we're doing all right. We're talking about podcasting, and I think the Bobcast is back and better than ever.
Yeah, I'm doing one this Friday. I did one already a week ago, Thursday.
Good.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the kind of attitude we're looking for.
Who's crutches?
Those are my crutches.
What'd you do?
Blew my knee out over the weekend.
What, did you fall on the ice and bury?
I wish.
Did they, with that one-day contract, did you get disability insurance?
It's a good point. I should look into that.
About that.
I'm actually happy I didn't blow my knee out before we went up there. Imagine they had to cancel the whole night or I couldn't get onto the ice.
How did you blow your knee out?
There's not even a cool story about it. On Saturday, I was playing with my daughter. I was laying on the floor. I stood up, I planted my foot, my knee buckled, and Bob's your uncle.
And what is it, ACL?
They think it's a meniscus. But oh, I can't even get a real answer. Have you ever had knee problems? Can you give me some expertise?
I had my knee scoped last spring.
Oh, man.
I had a meniscus tear.
That's what it was?
Well, you were able to walk around with it for...
Very painful, yes. But I actually did it a year ago, August. But, I did it playing tennis, and then we went on vacation to Washington, D.C., and we walked like 20,000 steps a day type thing.
Yeah.
And it was really bad after that. But then I never got it scoped until the spring, and
it gives me
some problems now and again. But I didn't need crutches, and I toughed it out, so.
Oh, dude, I'm a crutch guy. I don't care. I do not care.
Can you straighten your knee out?
No, I can't. It's locked.
Okay, you probably have what's called a bucket handle meniscus.
Yeah, I've read about that.
It flips over.
I'm toast.
So you got to go in. No, they just go in and once you get you hooked up, you get you go in and they trim it, scope it, and boom, you'll be done.
You're okay.
Good. 6 to 8 weeks, you'll be 100%.
But the thing is, we need to continue on the show. So,
well, you don't have to miss any time. I didn't miss any work. I missed one day.
Could you drive?
I think I worked with you right after.
Yeah,
surgery.
Actually, you can. You can drive pretty good, but
that's my worry.
Yeah.
Now I'll figure it out.
The bucket handle meniscus.
I've read about that. I've read about everything.
I'm reading about it right now.
All I do is Google knee injuries, and it scares me.
Stamkos had a bucket handle, but it was really a severe one. It's completely different. But and sometimes they're all different. But you, Dr. Bob says, you know, you got to be careful. Mine was folded over and went in.
That's what I think I have. Oh, I'm just really soft. I mean, I'm going for physio tomorrow.
Well, you are soft.
I am soft, and I'm concerned about that, that I'm going to go in and the physiotherapist is just going to, like, snap something and be like, yeah, what's your problem?
My guess is if you've got a meniscus tear, if you have a meniscus tear, the physio ain't going to help you.
No, I don't think so.
See,
I'll pay for it.
What we need, and I've been saying this, is a diagnosis. He needs imaging. He needs...
Yes, he needs to get...
an MRI.
MRI. He needs to go to an orthopedic guy. And,
yeah. Oh, I know. That's just 6, 7, 8 months down the road. Like, I know the way this is going to work.
Yeah, not but it, well. You may not be able to straighten that knee out until you get it fixed.
I know. I'm worried. Yeah. You're freaking me out even more, Bob.
Ray freaked him out in the 5 o'clock hour.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, Ray had a bunch of
meniscus
problems.
That's what we're here for. Ray knows everything about knees.
Hey, he's had some bad knee problems. What's the weirdest player injury you've ever reported on? Like, have you ever had a scoop where you're like, I can't believe I got to report this, but yeah, I got to report it.
No, I just like the ones where it's like, you know, they say, yeah, I was getting out of a cab and... whatever, and then you're like, yeah,
you know what that
okay.
means,
or I was on the golf course and suddenly I got a bad ankle. Like, then you want to know, well, golf course, golf carts,
but wasn't that
beverages.
Eric Johnson a couple of years
where
ago.
He had a bad one that was that you couldn't hide. He ripped his knee or ankle apart.
Yeah,
in a golf cart accident.
They're
not good. Brian Leach once had one getting out of a cab in New York City or whatever. So
yeah, I find that hard to believe.
4 o'clock
at 3 in the morning, exactly.
He probably was getting out of a cab.
Yeah, he may have actually been doing that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He face planted, and that's why he suffered the injury he did. Bob McKenzie in studio. Season kicking off tomorrow night. Which of the two Canadian matchups is more compelling? I think they're both brilliant. Leafs, Jets, Oilers, Flames. I mean, is there one in particular that if you could only see one, you'd be like, I got to
see
that?
Well, I mean, the Battle of Alberta should have some more juice now. You know, potential for both teams to make the playoffs, potential to maybe meet each other in the playoffs. That's when those rivalries tend to take on a little added meaning. So I think for that reason that, and you know, Calgary should be better this year. Edmonton's just trying to match or improve on what they did last year. You know, the Calgary question mark is Mike Smith going to be able to carry the load in net? And if not, Eddie Lack. They've really bolstered their defense with Hamonic, and we won't see Jágr yet, but they got a pretty good offense, pretty good three-line attack, especially once Jágr gets there.
What are they really expecting out of him?
I don't know.
He's played a lot of games the past 2 years.
Yeah, 15 goals, you know, give or take.
Like third line kind of get depth.
See, they've got their first two lines are set. So you go Goodrow, Monahan, and Ferland.
And
your second line is absolutely set with Tkachuk, Backlund, and Frolik. That's their shutdown. They get all the hard minutes, the key matchups. And that what they really need is for Sam Bennett to have a breakout year. Now, keep in mind, you know, Leon Draisaitl was, what, third to Edmonton? Sam Bennett was fourth to Calgary. And Sam still looks to me like he could be a really good NHL player. But he hasn't really grabbed it yet. He's had injuries to deal with. But he hasn't had that breakout season like Draisaitl's had. And maybe this is it. And so they've got Versteeg, Bennett, and presumably, once he's there, Jágr. And that would drop Troy Brouwer down to the fourth line and a little more, you know, truculence on the Calgary fourth line.
Some depth. Josh Anderson signs the deal. Like, I
in Columbus.
Yeah, I was trying to have a reaction to this. Like, you miss all a training camp, and it's not like he nailed it out of the park financially. I mean,
he took what was on the table from the get-go, basically.
But that's, to me, that's, I don't know, I didn't check to see who his representatives were, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, we all know what it's like when you miss training camp. Guys are chasing it, and there's always an injury involved or something because you're trying to jump on a moving train. Like, this kid, in essence, signs a deal that could have been, was by all accounts
signed
there.
It in July or August.
You think you're going to be able to... You know,
do better.
You think you're going to be able to work them. You think you're going to get a little something, something. And I mean, Andreas Athanasiou was going through the same thing in Detroit, and he hasn't signed. He's got 2 years, $1.9 million. That's the Red Wing offer. It's not likely to change.
Right.
So either suck it up, get back in the lineup. You know, and Anderson wanted to try. He was even prepared. Now, see, they give him a qualifying offer to retain his rights.
Right.
So his qualifying offer, which he got at the end of the season, effectively when his contract expired on July 1, was, I believe, the qualifying offer for him was $735,000. So he's like, I'm not taking $735,000. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
But then Columbus comes in and they say, hey, we're in an advantageous position. You got no arb rights. You got really
what
no rights.
What a dumb agent. Like, well, the agent should have been like, get in there, man.
Well, you try your best to get what you can. So the thing of it is, but right. Here's the thing. Columbus played major hardball here, which they're entitled to do, I guess, because that's their leverage point. They don't have it often in these negotiations, but you get it on a guy coming out of entry level with no arb rights. So they said, we want a 3-year deal, and yep. We want it at 1.85. And he's like, I don't want to commit for 3 years. I'll tell you what, now I'll do a 1-year deal, and I'll do it for 730 or 735, which was my QO. And they're like, no, we want a 3-year deal. And so you get to the night before the season, and it's like, okay, I realize, you know, they aren't going to change. So, you know, Columbus kind of called the bluff, and the kid wanted to play, and you get back in the lineup. Now we'll see whether Athanasiou does the same thing or not. Athanasiou is a really, really stubborn kid.
Well,
really,
he's going to figure it out, Bobby. With no rights, you either just sit there and lose money. How the hell can you sit at that stage of your career? Although Detroit, I think, is brutal, and they need players with talent, but if I'm him, you get your ass in camp.
And the only alternative you have is obviously to go play in Europe
right.
for yeah. less money than you'll get. But this year, you do have the added bonus if you want to say, oh, you know what? I can go play on the Olympic team. You know, Athanasiou yeah. would be a star on the Canadian Olympic team. But
the tree falls in the forest and no one's around.
But when the Olympics are over and the season's over, and you go back to Detroit and say, okay, let's get back at this. And they go, yeah, remember the offer we were offering you last year? 2 years, $1.9 million? That's still on the table. That's what you get. And guess what? You don't have arb rights, and you're no further to being a free agent or yeah. anything else. So you're right back in the soup. So it's a tough go. And
well, that explanation sheds light on what Connor Brown was dealing with. I mean, that's why I remember when people were like, what? How did Hyman get more? Because he was further along, he was older. And obviously they said to Brown, we're giving you 3 years, 2.1, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And halfway through August, he said, I'm not getting anything different.
Yeah, and see, that was part of the problem, because both Athanasiou and Josh Anderson are looking at the Connor Brown deal and saying,
I want
that's
that.
That's what I want.
Right.
That's, if you just give me that.
Yeah,
I'll come in and play. And
right, but Brown scored. Like, I think no. scored more than them. Not that it.
Yeah, means, Anderson had 17.
17
goals.
And Athanasiou had 18.
Yeah,
Brown so had 20 though.
Brown had 20.
And Brown still, had 20. Yeah. And now, you know, Athanasiou would say Brown got more opportunity. He was sometimes on a power play. He got got more opportunity than I got in Detroit, which is an issue. So you know, but at the end of the day, it's not an enviable position to be in. RFA, coming out of entry level, no arb rights.
Well,
and if the team wants to turn the screws
to rinse them, they've got nothing.
And it really, that applies to Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. Now, they're much better players, higher profile players.
Yes,
but
they are.
They fall under the exact same CBA.
They do, but they're different players.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Josh Anderson and Andreas Athanasiou. They're both good hockey players, and I think they're both going to have great careers in the National Hockey League. But they were not undisputed frontline, you know, A-plus talent,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like Matthews certainly was. And then just a notch down from that would be Marner and Nylander. So.
But there still is a leverage point, right, in which Matthews is going to be an outlier. They'll treat him differently, but like Marner and Nylander, at some point the Leafs are going to say, listen, this is it. You take it or leave it. And I don't think they're going to disrespect those players. I don't think they're going to treat them poorly. We all know they really feel great about them, but you can't all get $12 million contracts.
So no,
at some point it's
it'll be
stop.
Interesting. And obviously, Nylander's up first. Like, he's up
this time next
year. He could be
year.
Extended right now.
Well, we talked about it, Bobby. Don't you got to deal with him and then Marner? Because you don't want Austin Matthews to sign the big daddy. Then the other two are going to be thinking, just like Draisaitl did. Yeah. He was like, McDavid's good, but you know what? He's not that much better than me, so I want 8-5 or whatever the hell he got.
Mm-hmm. 8-5.
You don't even give those other two guys something to look at as far as a contract.
Yeah, I would think that they'll have Nylander done before the other guys, and then after that. What I'll be curious to see is whether they, on either one of them, on Nylander or Marner, they choose to use the bridge deal. It's an interesting way to go, especially with potentially elite players, because they can do what PK Subban did when he got his bridge from Montreal and
these guys are proud these days too.
Go out and win a trophy. Mm-hmm. Win a trophy, and suddenly you know your value goes right through the roof. And PK got the big money, and the rest is history. But in terms of cap management, it sometimes really helps your cause, especially in a 2 to 3 year window where you know that Matthews is going to be a guy. They're not bridging Matthews. He's going to get the anywhere from 5 to 8 years for the big money. But for that reason, you might want to try to roll the dice on bridging one or both of those mm-hmm. other guys. And that gives you a little more flexibility in the short term to build your team around them, recognizing that if either one of them puts up really crazy numbers, when that bridge deal expires, you're really going to take it in the teeth.
I know if it was me, and we talk about these players having attitudes and they don't understand the value of a dollar. If I was one of the three and the other two got big-time contracts and I was the third guy and they're like, we want to bridge you, I would say I want to be traded right now.
You would demand a trade.
Yeah, because I'm like, how the hell do you want to pay those two guys? And I've been unbelievable too the last 2 years. And what, you don't want to pay me? I can think back to how I would feel in that moment.
You're right. Yeah.
And the emotion is just like, how the hell can you not want to pay me? I want to be traded. You don't want me.
You have to have the same type of years. Like, that's a thing.
If one of them has
80 and 60, and then one guy has an
offer. Yeah, maybe all three of them are going to get the long-term deal, and it's not even a point. But I'll be curious to see, and obviously Lou's not sharing, Lou and Shanny and Brandon Pridham are not sharing their strategy on cap management vis-a-vis signing these guys coming out of entry level. But I'll be fascinated to see if they choose to do bridge deals for any of them, or whether they just say, you know what, these guys are really good, and the quicker we can get them locked up at a number that makes sense for us, the better it is.
Yeah. Bob McKenzie in studio. It sounds like Eric Fehr will start on the fourth line, and Andreas Borgman will be the sixth defenseman. Any surprises from your standpoint?
I think most people would say, if you were to watch the preseason objectively, that of the three potential candidates for the fourth line, that Fehr was better than Moore, and he was better than Ultinen. And, you know, this is one of these ones where nothing's carved in stone. I mean, 10 days from now, it could be Ultinen. Mm-hmm. Ultinen goes down to the Marlies and plays well, and Fehr or Moore misstep along the way, and there's nothing to stop them from putting one of those guys on waivers and bringing Ultinen back up.
Right.
And I think, but again, if you look at that battle for the defense spot, over the course of the whole preseason, Borgman, objectively speaking, was the best of Rosen. Initially it was Rosen, but then Rosen's had a couple of game, an off game or two, and Borgman kind of stepped up. So Borgman was at the top of that food chain. Rosen was next, and Marinson was third. So, and I know that Rosen went down for whatever purposes now. Maybe that's for a while, or maybe at some point it's not. What I would do if I were the Leafs, and this is not good for Marty Marinson because it puts him into Frankie Corrado territory, if you don't want to potentially lose Marinson on waivers or just put him in the minors, or you don't want one of Borgman or Rosen to be the seventh defenseman and not playing any games, mm-hmm. then you just keep Marinson as your seventh guy. You don't play him. Babcock likes to play the same 6D night after night after night. Ask Frankie Corrado.
Right.
He'll make adjustments as needed because of injury or a different style of player. There might be but he's got the flexibility to do that with Rosen in the minors. Rosen's at Rico Coliseum. He doesn't need waivers. He could flip-flop those two guys any day he wants.
Yeah.
And that may be a strategy the Leafs employ, where if Borgman comes out of the starting lineup for any reason, it's not the number seven guy, Marinson, who goes in. It's technically the number eight guy, Rosen, who's with the Marlies.
Right.
And you just pop him up and flip Borgman back the other way. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. It's just a quick trade. You got to take a streetcar and you're there.
I guess conceivably you could do that with Travis Dermott, too, if you wanted.
You could conceivably, although I think over the course of training camp, that pecking order of the two Swedes, Marinson and Dermott. So I think right now the plan for Dermott is
give him a full year.
Just let him play.
He seemed to get pushed down a little.
I liked what I saw out of him.
Absolutely.
He talks about depth that they have.
Could he be in the NHL right now? Sure, he could. If you give him the opportunity, I bet he'd do just fine.
Let him dominate in the American Hockey League. Let him win Defenseman of the Year. Let him really.
Well, what's your take on Liljegren and how you think they will handle this, how they should handle it?
I'm not sure. I think there's a normal thing. First step is throw him to the Marlies. See how he does on the smaller ice against pros. And then you can make a determination after a little while. Is this a good fit for him? Is it too much right now? Does he need to go back and just play in Sweden? Does he need to go to junior hockey? Take your pick. But you start in the American League and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I think he's a couple years away anyway. I mean, unless something changes drastically, I'd be fine. Send him back to Sweden, let him play at the juniors. Next year, play with the Marlies, and in 2 years, we'll see if you're ready to play. You know, he went 17th overall. This isn't Matthews. This isn't Marner, Nylander. This is a guy who kind of had a weird year last year.
Absolutely.
I think he's really
flying. He's a prospect. There's no,
give him a chance to
there's
play.
There's no pressure to have this guy in the lineup in the next year or two.
It's the biggest difference in this city over the past few years. Like every other year, when they were brutal, whoever went in the first round, that was the focus. What's he going to be? What's
trying to jam him in.
Jam him in, and wow, look what he did at
but
the
rookie
tournament.
But in fairness to the Leafs, even with Nylander, they said he's going to the American League. He wasn't happy how long he was down there, but
took him 2 years.
They brought him up after the deadline, and he got his run. And
here we are, riding shotgun with Auston Matthews. All right, Bob, good seeing you, and we'll catch you tonight, I guess, on the season preview show.
Get that
show.
Knee taken care of. Go ahead.
I'm trying, man.
Did you try to sewer me today? Usually Bobby's at 6:20.
Well, we had Brian Billick coming up, and you guys are all doing your TV, and I don't know, we made an adjustment on the fly. You okay with that?
I did not try to sewer you. I was informed that my regular slot was no longer available. And they're bouncing me around like some kid out of junior.
And Bob scared Brian with his knee. I've been looking online here. I think I'm going to start a GoFundMe for Brian Hayes because we're going to buy a scooter.
No, we're just going to get the thing the foot had. No.
A mobility scooter. You can get one for $1,100.
No, we're not getting. That's bad karma. You can't get on one of those.
You know what you need?
What are you talking about?
How about you get one of those things? Like, it's just like a little stool with, but you just like wheel yourself.
That's what I'm talking
about. That's what you
had. A foot had one when he was here.
And he doesn't know that reference.
Eric Carlson had one after his knee surgery.
Yeah.
I will not be caught dead bombing around in that.
Yeah, we're going to get one.
I'm not doing it.
He's upset that Kara Wagland laughed at him today.
Is that right?
Yeah, I came around the corner because you can hear me from.
Clunking around.
Feet away. I'm clunking around a building. I came around. She just started openly laughing at me.
See, I think we get you one of the mobility scooters, and then we donate it to charity.
Your bar play tomorrow at
the Mill Street
is zero.
Rock bottom.
You wheel in your crutches.
At least your hair's growing back.
Yeah, exactly. So like I'm feeling better.
You're feeling better about yourself.
All right, thank you for the confidence building. We'll catch you on the season preview tonight, Bob.
Sounds good.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. Brian Billick will join us. Are the Chiefs the only elite team in the NFL? We'll get you that answer next. Don't forget to listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, call in with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on Chicago October 9th down at the ACC. The theme this week is players who have played for both the Leafs and the Blackhawks. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, Steve Sullivan. Stevie Sullivan is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. Brian Billick will join us here in a moment. We talked about the George Foreman proposition to Steven Seagal. He said, let's fight.
Why does he want to do
I don't know
this.
What provoked that.
I think it's because somebody wrote in that I think Foreman's a Trump guy, or Seagal's a Trump guy and Foreman's a Hillary guy, something like that.
Seagal is definitely a Trump guy, okay, but he's so living in like Russia now or something.
I don't know. I told you, the guy's a
he
weirdo.
Said yes, die to the hair.
Yeah. Oh, we discussed it already. Like, he's 65 years old, and he's had black shoe polish in his hair.
Yeah, his salad still looks like it's 1983. There's no way that's real.
Yeah, it's he looks very weird. Foreman, I think, is just going to be very out of shape because he's just such a monster.
I think Foreman would we'd absolutely his head crush right him.
No way, dude.
You think Seagal would beat George Foreman?
He is above the law.
I used to love those movies.
Do you know what that means?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like TBS in the States, I swear, all Laws, they do is
you
just
know
play
above
Seagal
the law.
Movies.
Yeah, I love that movie.
He will kick Foreman's ass if he can do any ninja tricks or stuff like that.
Well, my understanding is Foreman said you can do whatever you want. Like, you got to pick a practice. You got to pick a mixed martial art. But let's say it's, you know, whatever. Jiu-jitsu or karate.
The law.
Imagine that.
Hard to Kill was one of the best ones. That guy, he...
Which one was
like
Hard to Kill?
He was like in a coma forever, and then he came out and
they're all
like,
kind of the
trained
same.
Himself back.
So he was like a cop in Brooklyn or something.
Under Siege.
That does ninja tricks.
Yeah. And always has a little
like he's
dog.
Got a police outfit on, and then a smoke bomb will come up, and it just starts beating the hell out of people.
All right, we've got our Friday five-pack as well.
Yes, for
right?
sure.
Are we going to do this
should
on
we,
Friday?
Should we
top five for each celebrity or sport fights? We would like
we
to
would
see.
We would pay for pay-per-view. Sure.
Yes.
All right, we've got former NFL head coach, Super Bowl champ,
dude,
NFL
we can't
network
talk
analyst.
Like this when we got a guest on of this magnitude. Yeah,
exactly. I'll bet you Brian Billick would love to see that fight. I'll bet you he would pay to see Foreman take on Stevenson.
All right.
Here he is, Brian Billick. Brian, answer the question. Would you pay money to see George Foreman fight Steven Seagal?
Well, yeah, if he'd pull Seagal's ponytail, I'd pay for that. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
That would be outstanding, wouldn't it? I think it would be great TV.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that would, as long as no one's using their feet. I can't watch the stuff where they use their feet and they kick and this, that, and the other. As long as they're not using their feet, I'm all in.
Okay.
Here we go.
We'll put Brian down then. He's in. We've got the ball rolling here.
All right.
Obviously, last night, it was a really quality Monday nighter. Chiefs are at 4-0. You know, a lot is being made throughout the NFL about the parity and how there maybe isn't an elite team. Can you make the case for Kansas City being the elite team in the NFL?
Well, so far, yeah, because they're playing complete football. You know, they're not only balanced on offense and playing good defense, but that Kareem Hunt is something special. And they're getting explosive. That's what's been missing from Kansas City's game the last couple of years, that they can only get so far because they're not a particularly explosive team, and they're showing that they can be explosive. So right now at the quarter mark, and we're only at the quarter mark, it's going to change at the halfway mark, the three-quarter mark. It always does. But right now, clearly, they're the most complete team I've seen in the league.
Where do you think the Pats are at as far as you talk about a team playing a complete game? I mean, Bill Belichick already started last week saying, we're on to the next game, we're on to the next one. Where is his patience at with his football team right now?
Well, and that's the mantra everybody in the NFL has, and it's a valid one. We're just all about this week. But you got to be careful because when you're that, sometimes you look up and now you're sitting there, you know, 4-10. Not that you need to focus on the bigger picture. It's just all about what do we have to do this week. What we're seeing is New England is not the dominant team we thought they would be. If everybody coming in to start the season thought Patriots are going to be undefeated, they are the one dominant team in the NFL. And there isn't, other than Kansas City, that show, and they'll trip along the way here a little bit. And of course, injury is going to be a factor. But New England's got some issues. Obviously, with the losing Edelman was huge. If they can stay healthy with Gronk and with Amendola and some of the others, Hogan, defense has been an issue. They're just not as good defensively as they've been. They have a tough time holding up against a physical running attack. They're giving up too many big plays. So that's right now the Achilles heel that I don't think we thought we knew coming in. You just assume because it's Belichick and the pedigree and they're going to be good and they're going to stop what you do best. That defense is a little bit shorthanded man-wise.
Are the Buffalo Bills for real?
You know what? They're an intriguing team. I don't know that they're going to be able to sustain it. I don't think offensively. Of course, LeSean McCoy is such a big part of it. Tyrod Taylor is solid, and he'll do okay. The defense is playing better, more disciplined, more sound than they had. In that division, you know, where it's okay, it's all about can you get to New England, that will be the question, because what they really are, they're in the AFC wildcard division. So they're not really competing with New England. They're like everybody else in the AFC. that if you're at that next level, you're competing with either Baltimore or Pittsburgh. You're competing with Denver or Oakland in behind Kansas City. Houston and Tennessee. So you're competing with that. You know, if you can't win the division, you're now in the wild card division, and that gets very competitive.
With Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning head coach, NFL Network analyst. You can see Brian on the NFL Network's NFL Playbook every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Yeah, I mean, I've seen this from the Bills so many times. I want to believe, but as you said a few minutes ago, it's one thing to be quality through four games. It's another thing to do it all the way down the stretch. And I do fear with a guy like Tyrod Taylor that at some point he's going to have to win a few games for them. Their defense has been spectacular. I give him full credit. I don't trust that Tyrod Taylor can go out there and dominate two or three games down the stretch to find a way to win ball games. I mean, where would you rank him in terms of your confidence level that he can carry this team, Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, that's the qualifier, because you have a lot of quarterbacks that if you keep him to that 25, 30, 35 pitch count, which means you're running the ball okay, play good defense, yeah, you can make that work. Now, if you're going to throw it on his back like you do in Aaron Rodgers, like you do with Drew Brees, like you do Tom Brady, and have to pull up with that 40, 45 throw game, that's when you're now going to get all of what Tyrod Taylor is. And right now, I don't know that they have, particularly with the support cast they have, I don't know that a 40 or 45 throw game is good for the Buffalo Bills right now. They need to be more balanced, not put the ball up that much, and obviously play good on defense.
With Brian Billick, the Bears are going to Mitchell Trubisky. They have not had the greatest start to the year. I don't think this is that shocking considering how their quarterback play has been so far, but they moved up in the draft. Deshaun Watson went behind him, and he's looked brilliant through a couple of weeks. What do you make of this move from the Bears?
It's time. I don't know. I would have started him from the get-go, but you knew we were going to get here. You knew they weren't going to be able to win enough games at some point. Now it's about developing for next year. Every snap that Mitch Trubisky takes this year will make the Bears better for next year. I think they were kind of waiting for this mini bye because they played on a Thursday. They were waiting for the offensive line to get healthy, the running game. They want to surround him with enough so he doesn't have to be a David Carr being sacked 76 times in his rookie years, because that can ruin you. So they want to make sure they can protect him enough, keep him at that 25, 30 pitch count, run the ball well enough. I don't think the expectation is, oh, Mitch Trubisky's in now. Now we're going to win games. But they've got to start the development of the young quarterback.
Well, it's interesting what's going on in the NFL. I mentioned Deshaun Watson, who is a rookie, just got drafted this past year. He didn't start week one, but they quickly made a move, and clearly it's paid off for them. Yet you've also got Jared Goff, who has been really, really solid through four games. They got the most explosive offense in the National Football League, and he sat for a full season. So do you have, I mean, if all things are equal, is there one way that you would do it? Would you play the rookie right off the hop, or would you rather sit a guy for a full season?
I'd play him. You learn nothing from the bench, absolutely nothing. And how much better would Jared Goff be if he had played all of last year compared to where he is right now? And we're seeing that growth. We're seeing that improvement. I think it would have been accelerated. Now, it's tough for a rookie because, can you hold up emotionally? You know, if you can approach 60% completion, you know, a couple more touchdowns, interceptions, that's a good rookie year. You look at what Carson Wentz did. But look how much further along Carson Wentz is for having played the entire last season. Now, Goff is getting better, and he looks pretty darn good. He'd have been even better earlier had he played all of last year.
Peyton Manning's an example, too. His first year was a struggle.
It got ugly. It worked out for him.
Well, and you look at there's any number of quarterbacks. That's the question. Okay, and they're going to struggle. But can he hold up emotionally through that struggling? Troy Aikman's the same way. They were 1-15. But you learned from that. And that made, I guarantee you, they were better the next year from snap one because they had experienced that, rather than thinking, okay, I'll sit him in the bench and I'll ease him into it. And if you think that guy can't emotionally hold up to being that starter under that barrage earlier, then you shouldn't have taken him with the first overall pick.
He is former NFL head coach, Super Bowl champ, and current NFL Network analyst Brian Billick. We always appreciate you doing this for us. Thank you, Brian.
Glad to do it.
There he is. Brian Billick. So we'll see what Mitchell Trubisky brings to the Bears. I mean, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, these young quarterbacks have been outstanding. The old guys have been great, too. I mean, Brady's still been good.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has been very good. But the thing is, in New England, I mean, that's probably the story through 4 weeks. I mean, the Chiefs at 4-0 and Kareem Hunt playing the way he is, Alex Smith playing the way he is, the Rams. But the fact that they're 2-2 and it feels like the sky is falling says
the sky
all
is
you
falling
need to
know. Because there were the number of tweets and polls saying, are these guys going to go undefeated
perfect
this year?
Exactly.
And they had to storm back to win a game as well.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They haven't been
against Houston
unreal
2 weeks ago. And this past week, they were down 14 with like 8 minutes left. Yeah. They ended up losing the game, but they could have got blown out. They got blown out in the fourth quarter opening night against Kansas City.
Yeah.
That defense has been abysmal. They've given up more yards than any team in the league. They've given up more points than anyone outside of Indianapolis.
Belichick must be snapping.
He's freaking. You know he is. But they deserve the benefit of the doubt.
For sure.
And they're still only at 2-2. They're a game back of the Bills. I still think they're going to win the division. I don't believe the Bills are going to win more games than the Pats. I believe the Pats will figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard not
to. How can
to
you not
it.
Have faith in what Belichick and Brady
well, sometimes
and what that
you
defense
don't
has been known for?
Well, when are they going to fix the problem, though, which is the defense, which is...
I mean, listen, could it get to a point in 4 or 5 weeks where we all revisit this and say, you know what, now that I think about
it's not their year.
It's yeah, that potentially could happen, but I'm willing to give them the next 4 or 5 weeks to do that.
I agree.
Keep plugging along, pick up a few games, stay in the hunt. It's not like this is a team who's never been in this position. They've been in every position.
They'll get a couple softy games, too, where they rinse somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be fine.
They'll be okay. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Baseball playoffs kicking off. Shout out to all the teams that made it. We know that the Jays didn't. Caught up with Ross Atkins earlier this afternoon.
I think this is the time of year where I think the baseball games, they start at like, I can't even make it through them. They're like at 8 o'clock starts.
It's all about late prime time.
I 8 can't o'clock make tonight. It through, man.
I'll be watching. I mean, Yankees.
I do too, but I can never make it through a game.
Well, when they start playing the West Coast games, like if the Dodgers game starts at like 10:37 or something. Remember Larry King? Who lives out there? It's behind home plate, and he's like a mannequin. He falls asleep in like the fourth inning. Larry will be out there.
He'll be out there for sure.
Larry King. He might come up in my Friday five pack.
Yes.
I could see Larry King in a celebrity tilt. I'd pay for it. Duffy and Larry King.
That'd be a good scrap.
All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Recap a busy afternoon next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Props tonight for the wild card game, Minnesota at Yankee Stadium. Over the number, 0.5 hits for Joe Mauer. Over the number, RBIs for Aaron Judge. Under the number, 7.5 total strikeouts for Severino tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 85. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. I'm curious to see these young Yankees perform in a one-and-done type of game. I mean, Aaron Judge, we've talked about him so much for months now.
Yeah.
He's put himself up there with the faces of the game. You know, he's the face of the Yankees.
Can go legend.
Could go legend at home tonight.
Or go south. That's the thing.
Greg Bird, Gary Sanchez. I mean, they got a lot of young kids who are performing in the playoffs for the first time. And Minnesota's
that's some pressure, too. You want to talk about one game?
Mm.
Like one error, one
game seven.
Buckner moment.
At home, too. I'd rather play this, I think, on the road.
Yeah. And you're not kidding.
Because you could have a Buckner. You get caught in a Buckner?
Or a Bartman.
That's true, I guess.
I don't think fans feel the pressure of the Bartman moment.
I've never walked into a stadium thinking, uh-oh, I better not Bartman myself.
Have you ever been on a wall like that, front and center?
I've been up close.
I've been there.
Yeah.
You never thought to yourself, well, but you've never been at a playoff game.
It was a nothing game.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same thing. It's got to be in the that was game six of the NLCS.
This guy had his Walkman on.
Now he's got a ring.
Which I thought was a decent gesture.
Nice gesture, but is it worth the hell that
he's
been through?
No, of course not. He'd hand that back in a heartbeat. That's what I've been doing with my knee for days. You know what I would do to be able to go back and just have a perfect knee again?
You'd hand it back.
I'd hand back
It's unbelievable when you have some kind of like ailment. You're like, this is the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I have an earache, I'm like, I'd take anything but an earache. When it's your knee, you're like, anything else but my knee.
You do embellish a bit, but it is my driving leg. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, if it was going to happen, hit me in the left knee so I can drive around.
That's true.
Take a wing off if you have to. I mean, you know, bad shoulder, elbow.
Yeah, not driving sucks, man.
It's the worst.
Instead of avoiding surgery, would you forfeit a digit?
No. I'm not giving up a digit.
Like one finger, like your pinky finger.
No.
No?
I'm not playing this game, dude, because
digits are too important.
Yeah, I need a digit. I need all 10. Oh, I'm not playing this game. I'm not in the mood. I'm the guy with the bum pin.
Believe
here.
Me, I had back surgery. You guys know what I would have given to walk normal. And
you were in a bad spot.
I was in a bad spot.
Are you concerned your back could just go again at any point?
But I've been working every day to strengthen it. If it goes, it's because I'm 46 years old and it's just the body's going to give out.
That's the thing. Everyone's like, dude, you're getting old. And I'm like, I don't think
you're 34.
I am. I'm 34.
You shouldn't be blowing your knee out in the fashion that you did.
No, I shouldn't be standing up and blowing my knee out.
Yeah. You've put a lot of stress on your body.
I have.
Anyway, we're out of here, right?
Well, yeah, give or take. I mean, you got your fantasy.
Your digits all together.
Everything's
you're keeping
okay.
them all.
I'm getting picked up. I'll be down there tomorrow at the Mill Street Brewery.
Do you want me
pub.
To come and pick you up tomorrow?
No. Noodles and I have worked
out
something.
Worked
I'm going to get
something.
Here. I'm going to get downtown.
I'm going to drive him downtown.
Don't forget, we've got the game tomorrow exclusively here on TSN
That'd
Radio.
That'd be cool.
Puck drop at 7 p.m. Pre-game with the Tap Man at 6:30. He'll be coming out of the gate hot in the
yes
regular
guy.
Season.
Him and Greg
Gilbert. Holy crap, will he do a yes guy, no guy.
It'll be epic tomorrow.
Epic.
Epic, around 6:45. Ladies
Greg
and
Gilbert
boys
will just
and girls.
Be staring at that mustache saying, holy crap.
This is how we broadcast
Seriously.
Regular season games. If they get back to the playoffs,
the
Greg Gilbert won't know what hit him.
Tap man will be screaming and yelling. He'll be on fire.
It'll be great tomorrow night. Leafs in Winnipeg tomorrow. Tons of tee up.
Yeah.
Leaf props, locks, guarantees, non-guarantees that people think are guarantees.
Yep.
Inside the box, outside the box, thinking we're doing it all.
Bar food, too.
Bar food, we're going to be feeling good.
No, we're not doing that again. Come on.
Matzo sticks.
Matzo sticks. If a matzo
if they got matzo sticks, we'll do that, and that's our treat.
That's
chicken
our limit.
And salads.
Okay.
Chicken fingers.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
It's Leaf Day. We'll chat then.